Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite cartoon podcast of the year 2018. Today, with 100% more baby.
This is, in fact, not true, as we have had the baby on the show multiple times already.
Ray doesn't pay attention.
Oh, you have a baby? My name is Ray Stakanis.
Oh, right. Because we're going in the opposite direction. We're in a completely different space.
This is so weird, guys.
I'm always last.
I was waiting to go clockwise.
Nope.
Yeah, I was waiting for clockwise.
I'm always last.
Nope. We're sitting in different places.
No, I'm always in the middle. I'm in the same place.
Yeah, but you're on the other side.
Yeah,
but I'm still here. Always in the middle.
You're in the baby chair.
Yeah.
Although I guess depending on which way you're looking, any one of us is in the middle at any given time.
We are a triangle of doom.
This is ridiculous. I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
Hey, thanks, guys. And today, see, this is our first time in a while not recording in the Fat Robot studio, as it has been turned into the Fat Robot baby nursery room.
You could not think of the word nursery.
Nope.
Wow.
Couldn't.
That was the worst.
And I have one. And so we're out here.
We're killing it.
We're out here in the adjacent studio.
yeah, let's call it the adjacent studio and not the fucking living room.
If you watched our live stream of G.I. Joe the movie, you have a general idea of where we're sitting right now.
Yep.
I call it studio adjacent.
I mean, pretty soon my apartment will be empty, maybe, so...
Oh, man.
Feel free to go in there and do weird
guys.
Things.
We're going to make it into the studio. Can we sublet it and just goodness. Do podcasts from there?
I mean, it's a great deal.
One lucky listener out there, if you've ever wanted to do weird things in Gina's apartment.
No, I'm not offering.
Oh, we're not doing that?
Listeners.
Oh, we're not doing that?
I'm coming back to my place covered in jizz.
Well, I mean, isn't that its normal state?
Yeah, but at least I know where that jizz came from.
That's a good point. Today, we are talking about a show called Fox's Peter Pan and the Pirates.
Who's
only marginally less tasteful than talking about jizz-covered apartments.
Yeah, this was TJ from Patreon suggested this one.
Oh, TJ.
Is this one of those I loved it as a kid or I want to hurt you suggestions?
You know, he's one of our newest Patreon subscribers.
I see.
And he did, and it new. He's been doing it for a couple of months now.
Okay.
And, you know, he jumped up immediately on that level and said, I want to do the thing. I want to support you guys. And I have some stuff I want you to see.
Oh. Okay.
And this must have been in the top list somewhere.
Let's make sure we instantly batter him with a barrage of complaints.
We'll teach you a lesson about supporting us. Oh, boy. And this one's going on the main feed, too, right?
Yes, this is a main feed episode. Yep. So, guys, what was your first thought? Fox's Peter Pan and the Pirates, a show I didn't know existed.
It existed. But once I saw the animation, I was like, oh, this looks familiar.
Sweet
I'll tell
Jesus.
You what it doesn't look like, though. It doesn't look like any Peter Pan characters I've ever seen in my life.
I'm surely that's the point of it, because they put Fox's Peter Pan. So I was like, oh, yeah, obviously they wanted to make sure that, like, everybody knows this isn't Disney.
Here's the thing. So I think it's probably some sort of weird legal thing of, like, they owned, like, you know, J.M. Barrie created the characters, and there's always sort of weird things going on with copyright issues and legality. So I'm obviously Disney didn't own it outright.
Well, they made a point to say it was based on the book Peter and Wendy by some other author. So my guesswork here
is that it
dropped off into public domain. Somebody wrote their own version of Peter Pan.
Oh, like fanfic?
Basically. this show is based on a retelling of the story of Peter Pan written by this other author.
This is the 50 Shades of Grey of the children's Peter Pan world?
Yes.
Got it.
Wait a minute. Did you get that information from Wikipedia?
No. It was just the opening credits. It says based on, and then there was a book that I'd never heard of because, you know, a book.
Okay, because there's a little mention here that says one episode features Wendy's daughter Jane, who appears at the end of the original play Peter Pan at the end of the original book Peter, and at the end of the original book Peter and Wendy.
Okay. Huh. Well, there you go. That's the maybe I'm just reading into it, like, incorrectly.
But
gosh knows, guys, that could happen.
I hated the character designs. I get that they were clearly trying to distance themselves from it, but I was like, come on.
Well, the animation reminded me a lot of Don Bluth animation, like Dragon's Lair and that kind of stuff. And I don't know if they're like related at all. Like, I probably should have done some research on that.
Yeah.
But it was very much, it was a very specific style of animation that was Disney-esque, but not Disney. That's, and I'm trying to think of the other cartoons that I'm completely blanking on them right now, but other the other Don Bluth projects, basically, of that era. This came out in 1990, so I mean, it's right in the middle of our wheelhouse.
The reason why I was like, oh, is because I just glanced over and saw that they made 65 episodes of this fucking show.
Are you serious?
65 episodes.
That's a lot more than Mork and Mindy.
Is that our benchmark now? Is that what we're, that's the bar that's set?
It's a low bar, but I've set it.
I hope that it changed a lot from this first episode, because I can't imagine how this sustains for 65 episodes.
I can see a kid liking this, to be honest. Like, there's you have a fun group of kids, you have an adventure,
it's an adventure show.
At some point you gotta say, like, dude, this Peter Pan is a fuck.
That's what I wrote. That's 100%. What my notes consist of. Yes. Like, you're a dick. Get out of here. You're a dick.
Here's my note. Peter Pan is a dick.
Oh, yeah. I have it right here. Peter Pan is a dick.
Peter Pan is a dick. So, guys, if you
we take a photo of both of our notes and put them on the thing just to show that we took the exact same note.
So, if you, no matter what walk of life you come from or where you are or what kind of a person you are, if you watch this, you will come to the conclusion Peter Pan is a dick.
But here's the thing. This is when people liked their heroes to be dicks. This was a time when people liked...
This was the rad, extreme, rude dog era.
Name any of those rad, rude dog characters, and they have some semblance of humanity in them. They're like, we're doing this for a reason, or like, we're having fun. And then later on in the episode, they're like, oh, geez, I can't believe I did that. I went too far. At no point
does
Peter Pan
That's what I thought was going to happen.
It was so clear that it was going to happen.
They set it up. He was like, oh, he reflects the worst of you. And then I was like, oh, good. He's going to learn at the end that he's a dick, and he's going to apologize for stringing two girls along and being a twat.
None of the
but
above.
But it didn't happen, and none I was like, that's weird. Well,
also, for the record, my notation in my notes is he's like the Vince Vaughn character from Swingers.
Yes!
The Swingers and the sequel, which is even worse, and I can't watch Vince Vaughn anymore for that reason, because I hate that character so much.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love that character, but I hated this one. Here's the deal. I love Vince Vaughn. I love Swingers as a movie.
God, what, Ray?
I haven't seen it in a long time, so maybe I would feel differently about it now.
You're a terrible person.
But we knew that going in.
No, he definitely came to Los Angeles thinking it would be like that.
If I could take an ice pick to my brain and forget that I had ever seen that movie, that is how much I hate that movie.
You guys want to go to the Dresden after this and just hang out?
Do you also love Entourage?
I do like Entourage.
Oh, you are the worst kind of person.
I like it on a very superficial level. I'm not trying to live my life like
Entourage. You can't justify it. You can't justify it.
It's a fun show with silly characters. I don't know what to tell you. I like comedies more than you do, I guess.
I'm going to murder you.
Well, guys, it's the obvious conclusion of this podcast. Let's go back to the beginning, though, because the show opens. It's like a 21 and a half minute show that opens with I timed it, 1 minute, 15 seconds of intro.
Yeah.
A non-voiced intro. It's just, here's people sword fighting with music under it for a minute 15.
This is kind of interesting, because I feel like at the beginning, when we started doing this podcast, I was very much against the sort of cartoon intro that was like, this is what we do and this is the thing that is happening and this is, you know, so you have to listen to it every goddamn time. And now I'm at the point where, like, yeah, I don't want any of that frou-frou, let's have like a minute of animation. I want you to tell me what this show is.
Yeah.
And I want to hear it every time. Like, I am Freddy Frickafrack and I do this.
Copyright it.
Yeah. Guys, we own that.
Freddy Frickafrack.
And he does this.
Yeah, I appreciate a good like gummy bear style opening where it's like magic and mystery are part of their history.
You can go too far with that, though. Like Galaxy High, I felt like with the non-discernible robot voice for like a full minute, giving full exposition of things
you didn't need to know about.
It
into a fun song. Yeah. You've got to be like Elf. And then he killed children, and now in prison.
Whoa!
And then we are watching as he gets ass raped.
Dahmer Bears.
Wait a minute. Is this based on the Sublime song "Date Rape"? Is this Sublime's Date Rape, the animated series?
I don't know. It was just the darkest thing that I could set to the Gummy Bears theme.
And then when the cops come, you best get out and run. I don't know.
You're bad at this.
I'm terrible. My first line was good. I just couldn't rhyme
anything.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, so the show opens. Yeah, and a minute 15 of basically like, this is stuff that will happen this season. Cool.
Yeah, I was immediately mad about the fact that they didn't. Like, he's not even wearing green.
Yeah. Well, it's different Peter Pan. It's not your grandfather's Peter Pan.
I don't want my Peter Pan to have a ponytail.
Yeah.
And I don't want...
Two of the people at this table have ponytails.
Yeah, and I don't of us.
Guys, guess who the two are. Nobody looked at me when they said that.
I mean, to be fair, I could picture you in a basement playing a video game with a big bowl of both Cool Ranch Doritos mixed with regular Doritos.
Mixed together.
Wait a minute, hold up. Yeah. What are regular Doritos?
Nacho cheese Doritos.
I see. Okay.
And like you have like a little like greasy thin ponytail coming out the back.
Oh God! Is this a previous incarnation of Ray?
Gina, get out of my dreams. That would be the life I'd want to live.
You were never that person.
Have I been in a basement playing video games?
I also feel like at some point your mixed Doritos.
I would not mix the Doritos. No, where I take umbrage.
At some point,
I would have two bowls.
A box of peanut M&Ms and pour it into the same bowl.
Oh, no. Whoa. You don't know me at all.
No. There is savory sweet mixtures to be had. Doritos and peanut M&Ms is not it. I don't know where that came from.
I would try it.
You would mix that with
popcorn.
With possibly popcorn, mm-hmm. possibly pretzels.
Pretzels, I'd say.
I would say there's a bugle that is a kind of a caramel bugle. Yep. What is that called?
Caramel
like
bugle.
Sweet and salty caramel bugle. That would definitely go. Oh, now I want to try that. I'm going to go to 7-Eleven after this, probably.
Oh, no.
You don't take the poxed baby to 7-Eleven.
He's not contagious anymore.
Nobody's going to know that, though.
Just shroud him.
Shroud him.
Like, put him under your shirt or something, like you're breastfeeding.
Like Quado and... I got a Total Recall this shit.
Okay, so this show... I'm going to move forward. This show opens with story time. Because it's episode one, season one, we start with Peter Pan.
Start with exposition.
Yeah, Peter Pan talking about something that happened before this show ever mm-hmm. existed, obviously. You know, because it's the true nature of all media is tell us, don't show us, right? Mm-hmm. That's the rule. So he talks about how he never say the Ice King's name, mm-hmm. because if you say his name out loud, he gets summoned.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
And I think that would just be terrible. Like, every single time somebody says your name, like, you get whisked away to whatever location they were, and you gotta lug it all the way back.
Well, no, it's more of a Voldemort type situation where, like, he hears it, and then he might show up.
Yeah, he can leave of his own accord.
Oh, so it's like Bloody Mary.
But also, like, he could probably call a friend back home and be like, ugh, I just got summoned, can you say my name again so I can go there?
But he does it in a really, like, aggressive way. He just calls up and goes, say my name.
Yeah.
Say my name.
Like Destiny's Child?
Yeah, basically.
Or is that...
sure.
Who
is
I'll
that?
Go with it.
Who is that?
Destiny's Child.
Okay.
But they go through this big deal and be like, don't say it, don't say it. Oh, you're going to say it. They're going to try to trick the kid into saying it. Just kidding, don't say it. And then Peter Pan's like, yo, I totally got it from King Kairos. Whoop.
Also... Yeah,
that's our first sign that, like, oh, this guy's an asshole.
But also, yeah. I think the first sign is he's like, I robbed a dude.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, now, he's like, oh, yeah, there's an old guy. He's like, he's a little confused. I went in. I took something that's worth a lot of money. He's my little bitch now.
And I gave it to Tinkerbell, but I'm going to take it back from her and give it to you, Wendy.
Yeah, this is I hate it
okay.
so much.
I will say that just taking something, we're still in adventure mode here. You could be like assaulting a dragon's horde and you take something. Cool. The dragon was a bad dude and it was eating virgins, blah, blah, blah. So at this point, it's still possible. Like, Yeah, he's cool and fun and adventurous. Once we get to that point where he calls King Kairos' name, that's like, oh, you're endangering everybody here just to get your rocks off.
I think he doesn't indicate that he was like adventuring and that this guy is a bad guy. I mean, the guy gives him a ton of chances throughout the episode. He's like, look, don't come to my house. Mm-hmm. Just don't do it. I'm not even going to press charges this time.
Yes.
I know you're a young kid, so I'm going to let you get away with it. But just don't do this. Well, you did this one thing. All right. Well, I'm going to try and teach you a lesson and have some pranks.
Yeah.
And then you can leave. Oh, come on. You're doing exactly what I told you not to.
Well, the thing is, here's the thing. When he calls the dude shows up. Everyone's terrified except for Peter. Yep. He is smiling the entire time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's weird. It's not even like an accident or anything. Like, they made sure to show it a couple times specifically that he is happy. And yeah. That is, I mean,
he's an adrenaline junkie.
So yeah.
Yes.
So,
this is before like X Games and like extreme sports starts. He is the original adrenaline
starting
junkie.
End of it, yeah. I mean, the thing about Peter Pan is, like, King Kairos shows up, and he's angry because he's been summoned to this, like, house.
Uh-huh. And it gives him a chance. He's like, unless you have a good reason.
Yeah, why did you call me here?
And like,
yeah.
I just want to show anybody what a fucking...
What a piece of shit you are.
Like, he could have literally just been like, I'm so sorry, it was a mistake, it won't happen again.
You're an asshole,
also,
beautiful baby.
Thanks for letting me keep this robbed jewel. Which, by the way,
he rubs his face in it.
I hate how he treats women so much.
I mean,
because he's pitting them against each other. First of all,
I feel like this is all that angle of it was completely taken from the book, and it feels like something that a child might do who doesn't really recognize
other people's humanity.
Yeah
Well, in a kid way, though, not malicious, just sort of like I'm giving you this thing now, and not really thinking like about hurt feelings or anything, just kind of like bloop, 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 bloop through the world. But in this version,
he's not innocent.
It really feels like, on top of, yeah, the fact that he's a jerk, it feels like now he's like doing it intentionally.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you squirming? You don't like that, Tinkerbell? Tough titty.
Yeah, she's like, you can't do that. And he's like, just did, bitch. Yeah. And then he like gut.
I mean, those exact words. Like, it was wildly out of character.
Punches her in the stomach.
It's crazy.
He's like, bruises don't show on the stomach, bitch.
He's gonna get a towel full of tiny, tiny oranges.
Oh my god.
Start smacking the stomach with it.
A really little bar of soap inside a sock.
So the Ice King shows up, and he's basically like, yo, you were the kid who broke into my house, basically. And then he sees the gem. He's like, yo, that's my gem. You have my gem that you stole when you broke into my house. I thought you just broke in. I didn't know you took anything. And mm-hmm. Peter Pan's like, yo, bitch, it's mine now.
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. He's like, didn't you just see what I did to my pseudo-girlfriend with those oranges and that sock full of soap?
I'll do that to you, old man. I'll do it to you. I'll kick your damn walker out of the way.
And Peter Pan comes up with it. And now this is crazy to me. He goes, I am the lord of this realm. I cannot trespass. Everywhere I go and everything belongs to me.
Yeah.
I'm president of the United States, yeah. So I can't commit any crimes
because
I'm the president.
I'm going to prima nocta your daughter, Ice King.
Yeah. It's like, I am a sovereign citizen of these United States. Your laws do not apply to me. We have found that the courts disagree with those sentiments, and the laws, in fact, do apply to you if you live in the United
also,
States.
Also, like, even if this is his land, which it sort of is, you can't just enter a domicile.
There's autonomy.
You mm-hmm. can't just be like
Fourth Amendment.
Yeah, he can't like just walk in someplace and be like, "I'm going to watch you shit. This is my place." Because, like, I feel like this conversation has probably happened before with other people. They're like, "Oh, can you?" I'm just sitting here watching TV. Do you have to come into my apartment and
dude,
go
to
my fridge
Neverland.
Every
I can
time?
Go where I want.
And he's like, yeah, your food, it all belongs to me. I know you paid for it, but it's all mine.
That explains a lot of why I was taking a dump earlier and Donald Trump walked in and just pulled up a stool and watched me dump.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to. I'm the president. I can do what I want. Trump style.
Yeah.
Wow. He is like a tiny Trump, isn't he?
Trump and dump.
It's all upsetting. All of this is just wildly upsetting. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, well.
And it never, and you keep expecting it to turn.
And like, it doesn't.
how do you write a show like this for kids? And like, I get it. Like, oh God, it's so shitty to have like a moral for every story. I just want to like have a cartoon with adventure or something like that, which is a thing easily done.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You can have, you know, like, let's go out and have adventures and do stuff and fight evil. He's not fighting evil.
This Ice King is not a bad guy.
He's just harassing an old man.
Yes. Also, Peter never goes through that struggle that narratively people have to go to come out the other.
Action.
Like, he is enjoying it from start to finish. He never has a moment where he's like, oh my God, I put my friends in danger. This is terrible. He never has that all is lost moment where any screenwriting class you take or any writing class you take, there has to be, for the hero, there has to be an all is lost moment. Otherwise, the ending doesn't seem as satisfying. And especially in an era where, like, morals were big at the end of cartoons or in cartoons themselves, like that cartoon All-Stars Don't Do Drugs.
Which came out, like, the same year, if not a
weirdly,
year
choice.
Weirdly, this fella who did this cartoon.
The writer, you mean?
The person who created it.
Okay.
I lost it. Let me pull it up.
To your point, Gina, Peter Pan's enjoying this whole thing on a superficial level. Like, he knows he's never in danger. He doesn't care about the lives of the other people around him at all, like, on any level, because he's like, oh, well, they're probably immortal, too.
Buzz Potemkin.
Oh, yeah.
I looked this up because I was like, did Buzz Dixon have, like, a pseudonym or something like that? Like, it can't be two Buzzes in animation, right?
Battleship Potemkin.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I fear, like, be some sort of reference. Buzz Potemkin was a producer. He made a bunch of cartoons. He did the Hawaiian Punch cartoons. With the
oh my God.
You mean beyond the commercials, they actually had a full length cartoon?
No, just the advertisements.
Because I'm like, that's what we're doing next week.
But he also did the Moon Man for MTV.
Okay. Oh, neat.
And I Want My MTV campaign.
Those are good. So
okay.
But he also did animated stuff. Berenstain Bears, Strawberry Shortcake, Teen Wolf, which we might be doing this weekend or very soon, either way. Which is terrible. Fucking terrible.
No.
Also the producer, Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue.
It's so strange.
What it feels like to me is he was like, okay, I'm sick of all these morals. I'm going to do something without morals. But in so doing, in being like, I'm going to flip 180 degrees, he also removed anything that makes it a story.
Yeah.
This is one of my biggest problems with cartoons of this era, of late 80s, early 90s, is there isn't much morally separating good guys and bad guys a lot in storytelling. And then not just in cartoons, but like, he's the bad guy and we root against him because we're told to.
Okay.
What makes Captain Hook evil? What makes the Ice King evil? What makes Peter Pan good? When if you break it down, morally, it's very ambiguous. And
you don't like shades of gray in your heroes and villains?
I have no problem with that, but give me a shade of something.
Okay.
Don't just give me a generic template. Like, this is the biggest issue I have with Hulk Hogan wrestling matches of this same era, is that Hulk Hogan, hero of the people, and he beats the bad guy, but if then if you actually break it down, Hulk Hogan was inside the ring was one of the biggest cheaters, and he did eye gouges and back rakes and foreign objects, and he did every single dirty thing that we're supposed to boo the bad guy for doing, but because Hulk Hogan was the good guy, it didn't matter that he was a bigger villain than everybody, we rooted for, and this is my biggest problem that also exists here. Peter Pan is a thug. Peter Pan is a straight up villain.
Yep.
He is the bad guy antagonist of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But we're supposed to be on board with him the whole time because his name's on the title.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Yo, Hulkamaniacs, it's me, Hulk Hogan. Check out my new look. Brother, I was at Arby's scarfing down a chicken cordon bleu. That natural chicken tastes righteous. That's because it's not all pumped up with phosphates and fillers, which gave the Hulkster an idea. Maybe I don't need to be pumped up either. Who needs to be doing bench presses and deadlifts all day?
Now all of Arby's chicken is made with 100% all-natural, all-delicious chicken. Try our chicken cordon bleu with ham and melted Swiss. It'll have you saying,
I'm thinking Arby's, brother.
Now back to G.I. Joe.
That's the problem I have.
I also, from a Bechdel test standpoint, Wendy doesn't even get to go on this freaking adventure.
I thought that Wendy would teach him a fucking lesson at the end of it, or he would at least see her face and go, oh no, what have I done?
Yes.
I have to make this right.
There, no, never a moment.
Is She's... The only purpose that these girls in this episode serve is to be like, ha, girls don't like each other because they're jealous bitches. Like, there's nothing... at some point he's like, oh yeah, let's go to the Ice King's palace, I'll take you there, it's gonna be fun. And then Wendy's like, all right, I guess you can go, but here, wear a scarf. And it's like, wait, you're the fucking mom now? Like, why don't you get to go on this adventure?
No, she's always been the mom in these like situations.
She at least gets to go on the adventures with them though. Mm-hmm. in other iterations, but this is just like, she's like, all right, I'm going to sit at home and cook and clean.
But it's also weird because he brings two of the kids. There's like seven kids in this crew.
Well, the other kids theoretically went last time, I think.
Yeah.
Said.
Also, okay. We can't afford to animate all them fucking kids.
Yeah. No. But he brought the Lost Boys last time. And this time it was just supposed to be the Darling children. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't bring Wendy.
Nope.
And I hate it. And I guess
the other thing that kind of threw me for a loop was, with no explanation, all the Lost Boys are wearing like animal, like panda hats tiger hats.
That's a legit thing that they
do. I know. And I'm like halfway through, I'm like, oh yeah, that's a thing they did. But I guess make reference to it at some point. Like, just
well, no, it's because they're supposed to be wild children who wear like animal skins and things like that.
But these were not animal skins. This is shit you'd buy at Hot Topic.
I mean,
with like a panda scarf.
This is one of the many things they could have covered in the minute-long introduction.
I would have loved that. Yes.
Like, hey, we're putting these things on because we're wild and crazy kids. Got it. Thank you for that information.
But then also, doo-wop, Peter, doo-wop. Peter immediately after leaving both women behind, he then does some light breaking and entering.
Yes.
Into a private residence.
He breaks into the mountain through a like trap door in the thatch.
Specifically,
which I thought
to
was weird.
To steal wares.
To steal back the gem that was just taken from
him. He's like, okay, I know all the ins and outs of this security system.
Yeah.
So like, clearly this guy doesn't want people there.
Yes. Like, you know,
just,
you're not welcome.
He just wants to stay home and watch Matlock and be left alone.
Oh, thank God. Yes. He just wants to sit in his basement playing video games, eating two types of Doritos.
Well, no, then I think he should be.
Oh, no. He should be thefted.
Yeah.
Boy.
He deserves to be punished if he's that alt-universe Ray.
If they had just made the Ice King more of a dick. Made him a little more misogynist somehow. Or,
he was
But they couldn't because Peter Pan had already covered all of these tactics. But yeah, like, show him torturing a kid or something like that.
Yeah.
Then it's like, oh, you deserve what you get, old man. But instead, he's just like, oh, I've got a nice little Saturday planned. I've got my chamomile tea.
He wasn't even
I want to try out a new recipe. Oh my God, someone's burgling me.
he didn't even like freeze like stuff around his mountain. Like, if everything around his mountain was frozen, it'd be like, I'm, you know, ha ha ha, I've frozen all you little woodland creatures, blah, blah, blah. Not even that. Fucking, it's a beautiful forest right up to the mountain.
Like, he keeps it in his yard.
Yeah. And then even when he's pushed to the limit, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but when he's pushed to the limit, he's not like, well, I'm going to fucking kill you. He's just like, I'm going to freeze you until you learn your lesson, because at some point you need to learn your lesson and all these people around you are enabling you. So I'll just freeze you until you learn your lesson. It's like, at that point, I would have killed him and been like, my property. I killed you. You were on my property. It's legal.
He gave him so many opportunities.
So many chances.
Well, even when he summons the ice golem to hit the hammer on the stalactites and drop them on his head, never once did he actually think that was going to hurt him. Like, he even says afterwards, like, I was just trying to push him to the area of the house.
That is all part of my plan. Even now, the wretched creatures are herded deeper into our caves, where I prepared a crystal for Pan just like this one. One that will change his life. Forever.
Like, I'm going to teach him a lesson because he keeps breaking into my house.
He could have had a crystal that killed him.
Yeah.
Just killed him dead.
But instead, he's like, all right, I'm going to give you detention for a little while. Like, this is a nice old man.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
I actually wrote down, because when he gets the crystal and he brings it back, I wrote down, yeah, freeze their stealing asses.
Yeah.
Because I hate him so much.
He steals the raspberry crystal. Mm-hmm. And straight up, and this is the moment. Like when he goes in, he breaks off the crystal and goes home with it. I just wrote, oh shit, Pan's the villain here.
Yeah.
It took you that long?
It took me this long to realize.
Well, because he tried so hard to take it off. Like it wasn't even like, oh, it just pops off. Like, oh, like it fell down. I guess I can keep it. He actively steals it.
Yeah,
he broke it. Yeah,
yeah. Even then, the Ice King was giving him a choice.
Yeah,
like, he was like, "All right, well, I clearly don't want you to steal this, so don't steal it, please." And then when he gets back, he gives it to Wendy and doesn't say a single word to Tinkerbell.
Nope.
He doesn't say to her like, "Hey, listen, I know that last one was yours. This clearly means a lot to her. Just let her have it, and then the next time I get something, I'll make." He says nothing. He gives it to her. Tinkerbell's watching. This is like him like making out with another girl in front of his like ex-girlfriend.
Like recently ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, like like you broke up with her like
that
10
night
minutes
at the bar.
Ago. Yeah. And now you're making out with this other girl.
This is a thing where like you're trying to make someone jealous so they'll take you back, except they never broke up with you in the first place. You're just making them jealous.
Yeah, basically Peter Pan is like one of my shitty ex-boyfriends who I won't name on air.
You have specific boyfriends that do this.
Yeah, yeah. Like Peter Pan is an immature asshole who toys with women and pits them against each other and does cocaine off of women's butts.
So it really could be anybody.
It really could be anybody.
Narrowed down to just your cokehead boyfriends.
I mean, that's true. That's it's a long line.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
This is Wild Bill aboard the Dragon Flycopter. It's pretty as a picnic up here.
Go
rock! Hey, Ace, we got snakes at the picnic.
Sky Strike Girl, teach them some manners.
G.I. Joe Sky Strike Girl, flying high, is gonna knock the rattler out of the sky.
G.I. Joe,
American hero.
Rattler's down! I'm taking a closer look.
Yo, Joe!
G.I. Joe Sky Striker, Dragon Flycopter, and Cobra Rattler each sold separately from Hasbro.
Now back to G.I. Joe.
So they all get frozen by this raspberry crystal.
Yeah, good.
They know what's going to happen.
Frozen.
It hovers in the air, and they're like, uh-oh. And then it freezes everybody. Tinkerbell, because she's made of magic, heats herself up. She then heats up Peter Pan and thaws him out. And then Peter Pan's like, cool, do everybody else. She's like, no.
Like, no, are you serious? Why don't you fucking do it, man?
He doesn't even thank her.
Nope.
She gets sick at this point, and he's not like, oh my god, I'm so sorry that you saving me. That because first of all, she had nothing to do with this crap. She was the one who was like, hey, don't go to that Ice King's place and steal it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm gonna do it, bitch. And then he gets back, gets her ass frozen. She rescues him, and then he's like, all right, now do everyone else while I go jerk it in the corner for a while.
To use your parable, like after at the bar, when he broke up with his girlfriend and then made out with another girl in front of him, he got so drunk he needed help home. The original girlfriend drove him home. He wakes up the next morning, he's like, yeah, you did.
Yeah, make me breakfast, bitch.
Yeah, where's my pancakes?
Yeah, and then she's like, oh, by the way, I'm really sick. Your shenanigans got me super sick.
Yeah, I was out in the rain dragging you.
I'm bored of this conversation. Unfreeze my other girlfriend. And then she doesn't even do it out of spite. She just says, like, I physically cannot do that. It will kill me.
Which
and he's like, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm a little shade on her, though, because it's just like, you know, it didn't seem like it really was that difficult for you to thaw out Peter Pan.
No, she fell down into the snow and then was instantly sick.
She was sick right away. That's
like,
true.
Like, and that's after doing one person. This is like a dude being like, can all my guy friends fuck you? No, I don't want that. Come on, don't be a stupid hoe.
Oh my
just
god!
Just let all my guys run a train on you.
Oh my god!
I hate Peter Pan.
So if you've got a house full of frozen people and you needed to unfreeze them. Lots of different like tactics for doing so could come to mind. If you're thinking to yourself, think of yourself at home right now. If you didn't watch the episode, what would I possibly do to unfreeze my friends? Now, okay. If you thought to yourself, I'm going to go grab a giant spoon and spoon lava out of a volcano and put it in my chimney. You are Peter Pan and I hate you. Because that's the plan.
I don't even understand what
a giant spoon, like, and he gets ladles of lava.
And all it does is he uses his friggin' kindling for the wood. And then they go and attack the Ice King's mountain by burning more wood. Why didn't you burn wood and then go to the Krakatoa for the lava to attack the Ice King? Like, it doesn't make sense on a story level. It doesn't make sense on a logic level. It doesn't make.
I hate that he's trying to ruin the Ice King's life, by the way.
He's trying to burn his house down.
I mean,
he literally broke into his house and set a fire. Multiple fires.
Which, by the way, like, this is the second time he's stolen from this guy. So it's not like this guy was just like, like, I could let it go or I could do this. It's like, he's going to keep going back and stealing from you at this point.
You tried to teach him a lesson as nicely as he could.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Peter Pan thinks that he's in the fucking right.
Every step of the way.
He literally says,
"We'll teach that rotten Ice King a lesson he won't forget."
Teach him a lesson. You're the one that needs to be taught a lesson, Peter Pan.
You started this beef. Also, so here is where we get to the point where I thought that, oh, all right, it took a while. But when the Ice King says,
oh, yeah, can you have that sound cue? Because this really, I had to write this down, too.
You started all this.
No!
He's like, no, you just don't get it, Peter. I didn't start all this. You broke into my house twice and stole things. Exactly, Egon.
And then the Ice King is like, all right, I'll teach you a lesson by showing you your mirror self that's all the worst parts of you.
The worst traits.
And this is where I was like, oh, okay, we finally got there, but this is going to be Peter Pan being like, oh my God. Those are the worst traits of me. I just learned something about myself. I shouldn't break and enter. And that doesn't happen.
No. He looks at the reflection. He's like, that's a good looking dude.
The mirror image says,
I reflect all the bad things you are. And I don't even have a conscience to slow me down.
Does the normal Pan have a conscience?
No.
No, he does not.
No.
Absolutely not. And so, yeah. And so he uses the power of wind.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And so, yeah, they all end up like stuck in tree branches.
Which, by the way, because they're holding on to pine needle trees for dear life. Their hands are going to be cut to shit.
Oh, it's going
to
hurt. What I love is Peter Pan's like, yo, you guys save yourselves. Somebody grab Michael, the youngest kid. I'm just going to hang out. And again, jerk it in the corner until Michael ends up letting go, and then Pan saves him. I'm like, Pan, why did you even try to delegate this?
I hate everything about
why
this.
Why didn't you just save him? Like, why didn't you just save everybody? You have that power, and it would have been literally nothing to you.
Yeah. And we get a brief look at Captain Hook, who doesn't have a mustache, dark curly hair, or anything.
I'm surprised that's because he has a hook.
Fox's Peter Pan.
I hate Fox's
Gina.
Peter Pan. As if I needed more reason to hate Fox.
And Peter or Captain Hook, voiced by Tim Curry, which is a big deal, like in the closing credits, etc.
Also, Smee isn't fat.
18 minutes and 17 seconds into the pilot, we finally get Captain Hook. I took the timestamp down because I was like, he's like the main villain of the show. We are in some other bullshit story about why Peter is a criminal. And and Captain Hook is like in a ship. He's like, I'm on a ship. And then this frozen wave overtakes him. He's like, now I'm frozen.
He served no purpose.
That was
in
it.
Story.
Well, just but show that he exists. That's all we were doing.
65 episodes. I'm sure he's the main through all the way through.
It,
so
it
like,
would
that's
make
fine.
Sense to have him be in. I didn't realize this was the pilot episode. It would have made sense to have Captain Hook be the villain in the pilot episode instead of this Ice King.
Yeah.
What? Who's actually just a nice old guy.
So the Ice King sends this marionette of Peter, this like reflection of all the evil in Peter, and the marionette even goes to his house and goes, okay, we can be done here if you just give me the gem, the raspberry gem that you stole back. And Peter says, let me just check here, no.
I hate it.
He says no. Like,
also, it's not yours, bitch.
Yeah. So he says, now you have to face the worst parts of yourself.
And here's the thing, is like, Wendy doesn't even want it. She's like, give it back. He's like, no.
Wendy's begging him to give it back.
It's mine.
Yeah.
Why don't you give it back? Like, no, I refuse because I am a piece of shit.
He doesn't care about Wendy or what Wendy wants. Nope. Tinkerbell's still sick. He never even thanked her.
And you know what? You know, Peter Pan says, you know, be actually better here. Let's have a snowball fight. Let's have a fun time with my reflection of evil while my friends are suffering for literally no goddamn reason.
I want to go into this episode and punch Peter Pan in the nards until he learns
really hard.
I
want to his lesson.
I want to go smack Buzz Potemkin in his face.
Yeah.
But I can't because he's dead of pancreatic cancer, died in 2012.
Well, you just made it real awkward in here.
Here's the thing. I don't even know if I can say he was a nice guy because I feel like he did so many terrible things.
What if someone listening knows him and gets really mad?
Can I just say, like, finally they give the gem. Peter gives the gem back. Okay, and do you have the line quote of when he gives the finally Wendy for the third or fourth time is just like, okay, just I'm not even going to ask you anymore, Peter. Here's the gem.
Here, you take it.
Peter like throws the gem up in the air. The shadow puppet grabs it.
The puppet's only purpose was to reclaim the gem. It wasn't even to kill Peter Pan or hurt anybody or destroy anything. Mm-hmm. It's just to get the gem back.
Menace them till you get the gem back because we're done playing around with this bullshit. And then Peter fucks with him by threatening, like almost breaking the gem.
Yep.
At which point then Peter's like, I don't even want it anyway. Like, fuck you. Fuck you, Peter Pan.
Then everything goes back to normal.
Immediately. And
just boom, everything back to normal. No consequences.
And so I even wrote here, I'm like, cool, so we're about to learn a lesson. Somebody's about to do some self-reflecting.
There's gotta be.
No lesson is learned whatsoever.
I can't believe.
None!
I can't believe that this thing made me want to have a moral. Because I don't like morals, and I don't want to be told, you know, how to behave or how to act or whatever like that. But this was so bad, it made me feel like it was needed.
Oh, yeah.
And there was nothing.
This led to a generation of assholes, this cartoon.
I think this was the spawning point of the MRA movement.
Also, I put down, I made a note that, like, is Tinkerbell the first wife? Is that what this dynamic is? Mm-hmm. That, like,
yes.
And she has to stick around for some reason. He divorces her and brings in a new trophy wife.
Yeah.
Oh, he won't finalize the divorce. He won't sign the paperwork, so she's still legally and magically bound there.
And no, Wendy's you're going to divorce her, right? He's like, oh, of course I am, baby. Oh,
yeah.
You know that I am.
That. Meanwhile, we learn nothing. And at the end of it, Tinkerbell is still sick. Tinkerbell has fairy flu.
Yep.
And nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. That she literally like gave so much of herself to try to make things right that she ended up like ill.
I want one of the other Lost Boys to kill him like Caesar style and just be like, I'm the new boss. I'm not a monster, but he was an asshole. We all knew it. He was just going to keep doing this crap since he's young forever. So now I'm the new leader. I'm giving universal health care to everyone in Neverland.
So I've got the ending to this episode. And that's basically like, there's like, Peter, we have a meeting outside. Peter, you got to meet with us. And then he's like, so why'd you guys call this meeting? And Wendy sticks him with a knife and says, for the watch.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Michael grabs a knife for the watch. And Jonathan and the black kid in the leopard outfit, he grabs a thing. Mm-hmm.
This is a sketch with all crazy people and no center. Like, there's nobody to call out the weird thing.
No, the center is the Ice King. He's the only reasonable person in the whole episode.
Ugh, I hate it.
I bet you if we were like 19, maybe we would have a different opinion. But
no,
we're old people
I would
who
not.
Like have things we have
not.
To do.
The story is flawed.
Deeply.
Like you can't watch it and walk away satisfied.
Yeah.
You're like, something's missing.
Yeah. Wait, it's an adventure. In theory, an adventure just is.
And well, an adventure needs an inciting incident. Like
you have to have a reason to do what you're doing.
Yeah, just going to like get your rocks off is not an adventure.
Yeah.
So this is a little bit more like a video game, you'd say, maybe than a movie. Like the hero goes to the cave to retrieve the jewel in the Nathan Drake Uncharted game, but there isn't necessarily a reason why he's doing this specific thing at this specific
time.
Even
then, though, like, isn't it like it could be just to make money? Like your job may be to recover artifacts or something like that.
Yeah.
This is like my job is to get thrills by stealing people's shit.
I'm hanging out in this magical realm with these kids.
I am all powerful, by the way.
Yeah.
I guess I'm gonna fuck around.
There's no stakes to anything.
I feel like this is a precursor to like he's starting to do shit like this. And then 4 or 5 episodes down the line, he kills someone for the fun of it. And that's like when Tinkerbell is like, you've crossed the line and there's no going back. And
he becomes evil overlord of the realm.
Yeah, it's like Faith, Faith from Buffy when she like kills that guy. There's like no going back until Angel and then.
I mean, spoiler alert,
stuff like that. But but yeah, like he's I feel like he is a couple. He's gonna like start thrill killing. Like maybe the first one will be an accident because he takes a prank too far. But then other people are like, you this is on your soul now, man. You can't mess it up. And he realizes he likes it.
I picture that moment too, where they're just like, they're like at a riverbank and then there's the dead guy and all the kids are like horrified. They're like, you killed him, Peter. And he turns like, he had it coming.
Yeah.
So this is like a, like an animated version of Punked, but it's Panked because it's,
God dang it.
This is truly the beginning of X culture. This is like if he had a skateboard and was gleaming the cube, it would have been.
He's making the other Lost Boys kick him in the nuts.
Yeah, you're right. He's a super caffeinated soda and a pair of sunglasses away from being like a commercial mascot.
Yeah,
for a breakfast cereal.
He's one of the Jackass guys.
Yeah,
I hate him.
Yeah, I mean, TJ, thank you very much for sending us this.
Yep,
it really upset all of us.
This is the worst. I hope you were looking for something that would make us actively angry. You succeeded.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I hope it wasn't like he was like, oh, this is my favorite cartoon. I can't wait for them to experience
it. No, I hope it is that way so he can learn a lesson that Peter Pan himself never was going to learn.
No, he's not
going to
learn that lesson. He's going to look at his mirrored reflection. TJ's going to stand in front of the mirror and be like, I'm doing all right.
No, he's going to be like, you know, the only takeaway I can take from that thing is that I should try thrill killing.
No, TJ, don't do it.
And stab him.
Don't do it. It's not a place you should be taking yourself. Oh my God, we need a warning label on this episode. Please, guys at home, do not thrill kill. It will not lead to anything good. It's sort of like everything. Nobody's ever said the phrase, it would be hilarious if I got my gun and it's never been hilarious. The next thing that's happened has always been tragic, guys. It's never ended with us later on high five and be like, you were right. Mm-hmm. Just for the record, that's based on a true story.
I have no doubt.
Of a guy who said, who was drunk at his own birthday party, who said, you know, it'd be hilarious if I got my gun and... Can you guys fill in the blank?
I bet it would be hilarious to someone.
Shot at bottles?
Shot the candles on my cake so they would go out.
Wow. Wow.
That guy shot himself in the arm.
Good.
Okay. Good. If I was attending that birthday party, I would be like really pissed if there was either blood on the cake or like gunpowder residue on the cake and I didn't get to eat that cake. Like, so I would
the
be
real
like,
tragedy
before you
cake.
Shoot at it.
Jesus Christ. As soon as those words came out of his mouth, he'd be like, cool, gotta go. Time's up. I have anything to do other than this because this is not going to end well.
I can't even handle it when like little kids blow out their own candles because little kids are disgusting and they can never just like blow things out.
The
they
cake.
Spit all over the cake. And now I'm like, come on, you couldn't just have like gotten them like one of their own tiny things with a couple candles on it. That they
cupcakes. Get a cupcake with
exactly,
one candle for
exactly.
the kid.
But don't,
come on, people.
But now I either go cakeless or I eat kid spit.
And now Fudgy the Whale is ruined.
Yeah.
Ruined for us all.
Let this be a lesson. When your kids are old enough to blow and you invite me over to their birthday party, if they spit on that cake, I am going to be so mad
here's
at
the,
you.
Gina, this is how this is going to go. We're going to have you over for the baby's first birthday, second birthday, whichever one it is. And we'll have the cake.
Yeah, one-year-olds can't blow. Yeah,
she's going to blow and there's going to be spit and just all over the cake. And then I'm just looking over and be like, don't worry, Gina. And I'm going to pull a fresh Fudgy the Whale out of the freezer for you.
This is
what's going to happen. Gina's going to come over to Egon's first birthday party. He's going to be, is he old enough to blow yet? And I was like, turn around, Gina. Leave. Do not come back. You are no longer allowed in my house.
Both of these stories seem like they hold up. Well, guys, that's going to do it for this week. Thank you so much. Thank you again, TJ, for being a Patreon subscriber. If you want to join us and torture us on Patreon, patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. You know, different levels. If you want to hear our entire back catalog, that stuff we're allowed to play, but it's huge at this point. Like, there is a big old vault of episodes that you can get that you can't necessarily get here on the main feed. You can do that for small. And if you want to donate a little bit more and be a little bit support us a little bit more, you can be like TJ did and you can give us episodes and we will do them either for the Patreon vault or for the main feed like we did in this episode, Peter Pan and the Pirates.
Foxes, Peter Pan.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry. You can sit on Facebook, facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. And you can, we post some stories and stuff and pictures and just whatever we feel like putting on there. We keep that more G.I. Joe themed. But, you know, we like cartoons of all ilk since we've done every episode of G.I. Joe at this point. And Egon has something he wants to say. Egon, what do you think of Peter Pan and the Pirates? No,
he
not,
was unimpressed.
Now he's done.
Unimpressed.
Speechless. You can hit us up on Twitter at G.I. Joe Podcast, or individually you can hit me up. I am at Almighty Ray.
I'm at 999.
I'm at Gina Ippy.
Good job, Chan.
Sometimes it's just not worth it.
He doesn't want those new
it's
followers.
It's just not worth it.
I love it because sometimes like I'll just see a thing like, why do I have like 19 notifications? Mm-hmm. And it turns out Gina's just going back and forth with a fan. Talking about some random nonsense.
I almost always will respond.
It's true.
But make sure you also tweet at these guys as well, because I've noticed sometimes people will only
just
tweet
you.
At me.
Gina, nobody cares about us.
And then I'll be talking to these guys about stuff, and they won't know what I'm talking about.
I'll be tagged in, but it won't be till seven messages deep when you've decided to add us to the conversation.
Listen, you gotta get more fans, I guess.
I mean, here's
more
the deal.
Individual fans.
That's a fact.
Apparently, you should make your Twitter profile pic you in a bikini holding Jello shots, and then maybe
you know what?
Maybe more people will follow.
I'm gonna do that. I'll just use your picture.
We'll all do that for 4th of July. How about
there? You go, guys. Until then, next week. Thank you so much, and we'll catch you all soon. Goodbye now.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.